Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott. We welcome the editor of Buffalo Spree, Elizabeth Licata.
Hi, Mark.
Hello there. The April issue will be celebrated at an issue release party at the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library Wednesday night, and we'll have more on that unique choice coming up later. But the issue has already arrived in subscribers' mailboxes in recent days, and it's all about burgers.
Yes.
There are no shortages of restaurants in our area offering hamburgers, and we're not talking about McDonald's or Burger King.
Oh, no chains.
Yeah. So how did you go about picking the 12 restaurants that you believe offer the best burgers?
Well, I don't even want to say that the restaurants offer the very, I mean, some of them I think people would say are among the top 10 burgers in Buffalo, but we weren't after doing a top 10 list or anything like that. But what we did look at is our traditional places that have long been considered places to go for burgers, like Grover's, Rosine's, Vizzy's. And then we looked at some newcomers that are really taking the burger to a new level, like the Allen Burger Venture. James Roberts picks Marble and Rye, which we had already written about, so we didn't include, but they have some spectacular burgers there. And so there's what we would consider kind of gourmet burgers, traditional burgers, and then we also had alternative burgers that, for example, obviously a veggie burger and a burger made out of elk, and also a burger that's really a taco.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I do want to talk about the elaborate dishes that we're seeing. I mean, the burger is not just a bun and meat anymore.
Oh, no. Almost all of them use cheese. Some of them, like the Juicy Burger from Hamburg, which is featured on our cover, they put a stuffed pepper, and I actually ate that burger. It's really good.
Yeah. My mouth is starting to water as we speak.
Really, it was so much fun putting this issue together because all the burgers look so fantastic.
So, yes, you do profile the Big Lloyd offered Lloyd Taco Trucks. Now, it might taste like a burger, but it's not one.
No, it's a taco, but it includes some of the elements that the iconic chain restaurant burger has, and that's why they call it the Big Lloyd. So it includes some of the elements from that, but in a taco form.
Yeah,
and maybe just, you know, maybe just a little bit healthier, you know, no additives, no preservatives, none of those kinds of things that you often find in chain restaurant food.
And burgers are not just limited to bars and grills anymore.
Oh, no.
Even some fine dining restaurants like Salvatore's and Oliver's offer a burger.
Well, Oliver's has long had a fabulous burger on their menu that I've had in the past that they serve with truffle fries. So that, yeah, they kind of elevate the burger a little bit. And Salvatore's, I think, just recently added a few burgers to their bar menu. And that's what Black Sheep does too, is you won't find the burger on the regular sit-down, you know, white tablecloth menu, but if you're sitting at the bar, then it's on like the bar snack menu. And even such seafood places have been known to put burgers together, especially for lunch. And Aroma has a lunch burger. So that's where the specialty restaurants, like your Italian restaurants and so on, that wouldn't have it on their regular dinner menu for lunch, they know that's the kind of food that people like.
Now, you profile a number of local personalities about their burger choices, and you didn't know it at the time you put together this issue, but you feature Felicia Leggett-Jack, coach of the UB women's basketball team, who received much notoriety this past week because of her team being in the Big Dance.
I know. I've been listening to her on the radio. She sounds really excited about it.
Now her burger choices don't include the restaurants you profile.
No.
She likes Red Robin and McDonald's.
Right. Some people, that's what she likes. Yeah. Well, you know, she probably travels a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably why.
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, how often is she even here?
Exactly. And during the season, they're on the road a lot.
And this is the basketball season, so that's a really long season.
Yeah. And she claims every burger is good.
Well.
Is she right?
I suppose, yes, to some extent. Because it's always a burger, and, you know, it's always, if you're craving a burger, wherever you buy one, it's probably going to satisfy you to some extent.
Well, I'd like to offer my own recommendation.
Okay, yes, I want to hear it.
For best burger. It's in my neighborhood.
Okay.
The Snyder Grill offers the Snyder Burger. It's 12 ounces of moist, tasty ground beef that I savor every time I bite into it, and I would highly recommend it. I usually am not enough of a food connoisseur where I can make, you know, informed decisions, but when I had that once, I said, wow, this is the best burger I've ever had.
Well, and also it's in your neighborhood, and I think a burger is something that you like to find nearby. You know, you're not going to travel 20 miles unless you're really, like, well, I'm sure you noticed that we have the Hamburger of the Month Club, and that is a group of Buffalo people who do travel every month to try a burger somewhere. Yeah. So there are people who are quite dedicated to the burger, but if you're just someone who likes a burger once in a while, then sure, you know, go down to your neighborhood, probably any neighborhood tavern has a nice burger on the menu.
Now, your special section on hamburgers includes a great article about who created it, and
yes,
you made a convincing case for the long-held belief that it happened at what was then known as the Hamburg Fair.
They have a recipe. I think there's good archival evidence that it was, I mean, it was news to me. I guess it's something that has been batting around for a while,
yeah,
and a lot of people know about it, but we just haven't been talking about it very much. But if the hamburger was invented here, I think that should be made into a really big deal.
You know, I've heard that before, but I thought it was a wives' tale. But after reading your article,
it does seem too.
Like there's some evidence there that it happened,
yes,
in 1885.
I think there should be maybe a little more investigation to kind of nail it down. And then we should make, or like I said, you know, make a big deal out of it and send out some PR about it, because I think it's worth, you know, having other people know about throughout the country, really.
Now on to other matters from the April issue of Buffalo Spree. You wrote about an art fair on the East Side, including the American Exo Plant.
Right. The Echo Art Fair is an interesting site every year. It has been at the downtown library. It's been at the Central Terminal that the first fair was held there. And this fair is at this huge, sprawling American Exo Plant. It's now 800 square feet. At one point, former American Exo Plant, I should say, it was over 1 million square feet, and they took away some of the new construction of it. The part that is built by the industrial architect Albert Kahn is still intact, and they're hoping to, the people that own it now, OSC Manufacturing, do hope to sort of restore and reuse that part. In the meantime, it's going to be the site of this exciting art fair the second weekend of May 13th through the 15th.
So tell me more about it then.
Okay. Well, the Echo Art Fair has only been around for about 4 years, but it's something the most famous art fair in the country might be the Miami Basel Art Fair. And that, you'd bring in artists, and they set up booths and galleries, and they set up booths, and they sell their art. It's an art fair.
Okay.
And it's juried. It's curated. Yeah. So not just anyone can be in it. You have to apply to be in it. There's a cost to have a booth there, but so far it's been successful enough. People are selling their art, so they're returning to sell art again. And it's something that big cities have, like Chicago and New York, so now Buffalo has one. It's mainly local galleries and artists, but some are from Toronto, from Cleveland, from Pittsburgh, and even from New York and other places.
Does this work, though? I mean, I'm looking at photos here in Buffalo Spree, and the plant looks dirty and, you know, long abandoned, and
well,
you're setting
the,
up art.
It was in the terminal. Yeah. That worked out great.
Yeah, you're right.
They put up, they had some drywall booths. A lot of the artists made money, were very pleased with it, and it was the very first one. And the terminal is, I've been inside this former American Exo plant, and it's not, I think it's totally doable.
Cool, okay. And that's the second weekend in May?
Second weekend in May, yeah.
All right, so put that on your calendar. Finally, the April launch party is Wednesday night at the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library downtown branch. And while that is a very appropriate site, because what better place,
yes,
to celebrate a publication than at a library, usually these are held at restaurants.
At bars. Yeah. Well, it makes sense because they are already set up to serve food and drink, which is what we do. So it's a little heavier lift to have a happy hour at a place that is not a bar or restaurant. But We have a relationship, a sponsorship relationship with the library. We love the library. And this is on the second floor, which is newly renovated and has a gallery in it now that is now displaying the Milestones of Science collection. So the people who attend our happy hour will also have the unique opportunity to look at this gallery and see these, what is, I believe, a priceless collection of old books that I'm actually looking forward to seeing, because I don't think I've seen them in a while, or maybe I've only seen pictures.
Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.